ISKCON Samstapak Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paripraja Acharya Astotra Sita Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Ananta Koti Vaishna Vrinda Ki Jaya. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jaya. Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadigor Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jaya. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kundi Ki Govardhan Ki Jaya. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jaya. Bhagadvip Dham Ki Jaya. Jamuna Mai Ki Jaya. Ganga Mai Ki Jaya. Tulsi Devi Ki Jaya. Bhakti Devi Ki Jaya. Jaya. Samveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jaya. Nitai Gaur Premanande Vini. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So we shall read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 16. The verse that's written on the board is text 72, but I will first read text 70 and 71 because they give the background to text 72. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Madhya Lila, Chapter 16, Text 70. Prabhu kahe Vaishnavana. Oh, sorry. We begin with Text 69. Kulina grami puravat kaila nivedana. Prabhu agya kara amara kartavya sadhana. As in the previous year, one of the inhabitants of Kulina gram submitted a petition to the Lord, saying, "My Lord, kindly tell me what my duty is and how I should execute it." Text 70. Prabhu kahe Vaishnava seva nama sankirtana duikara sigra pabe Sri Krishna charana. The Lord replied, "You should engage yourself in the service of the servants of Krishna and always chant the holy name of Krishna. If you do these two things, you will very soon attain shelter at Krishna's lotus feet." Teno kahe ke Vaishnava kitandra lakshana Tabehase kahi prabhu jani tan ramana. The inhabitants of Kulinagram said, "Please let me know who is actually a Vaishnav and what his symptoms are." Understanding his mind, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and gave the following reply. So now we come to text 72. Please repeat responsively. Krishna nama,
Krishna nama,
nirantara,
nirantara,
yanhara,
yanhara,
vadane,
vadane,
say,
Vaishnava
shrestha,
Bhaja,
Bhaja Tanhara,
Tanhara
Charane,
Charane
Krishna Nama Nirantara Yanhara Vadane.
Krishna Nama Nirantara Yanhara Vadane.
Se Vaishnava Shrestha Bhaja Tanhara Charane. Krishna nama nirantara yanhara vadane.
Krishna nama nirantara yanhara vadane.
Se Se Vaishnava Shrestha Bhaja Tanhara Charane.
Se Vaishnava Shrestha Bhaja Tanhara Charane.
Krishna Nama Nirantara Yanhara Vadane.
Krishna Nama Nirantara Yanhara Vadane.
Se Vaishnava Shrestha Bhaja Tanhara Charane.
Se Vaishnava Shrestha Bhaja
Vaishnava Shrestha Bhaja Tanhara Charane.
Krishna Nama Nirantara
Yanhara Vadane. Se Vaishnava Shrestha Bhaja Tanhara Charane. Vaishnavis. Krishna Nama Nirantara Yanhara Vadane. Hey Vaishnava Shrestha Bhaja Tanhara Charane. Krishna Nama Nirantara Yanhara Vadane. Te Vaishnava Shrestha Bhaja Tanhara Charane.
Masa
Vadane. Te Vaishnava Shrestha Bhaja Tanhara Charane. Krishna Nama. The holy name of Lord Krishna.
The holy name of Lord Krishna.
Nirantara.
Nirantara.
Incessantly.
Incessantly.
Yanhara.
Yanhara.
Whose.
Whose.
Vadane.
Vadane.
In the mouth.
In the mouth.
Say.
Say.
Such a person.
Such a person.
Vaishnava Shrestha.
Vaishnava.
A first-class Vaishnav.
Vaishnav.
Bhaja.
Bhaja.
Worship.
Worship.
Tanhara Charane.
Tanhara Charane.
His lotus feet. Translation. A person who is always chanting the holy name of the Lord is to be considered a first-class Vaishnav. And your duty is to serve his lotus feet. Please repeat. A person who is always chanting the holy name,
a person who is always chanting the holy name
of the Lord is to be considered a first-class Vaishnav. And your duty is to serve his lotus feet. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that any Vaishnav who is constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord should be considered to have attained the second platform of Vaishnavism. Such a devotee is superior to a neophyte Vaishnav who has just learned to chant the holy name of the Lord. A neophyte devotee simply tries to chant the holy name, whereas the advanced devotee is accustomed to chanting and takes pleasure in it. Such an advanced devotee is called Madhyam Bhagavata, which indicates that he has attained the intermediate stage between the neophyte and the perfect devotee. Generally, a devotee in the intermediate stage becomes a preacher. A neophyte devotee, or an ordinary person, should worship the Madhyam Bhagavata, who is a Vaya Media. In his Upadeshamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami says, Pranati bhischa bhajantam isham. This means that Madhyam Adhikari devotees should exchange obeisances between themselves. The word nirantara, meaning without cessation, continuously, constantly, is very important in this verse. The word antara means interval. If one has desires other than a desire to perform devotional service, in other words, if one sometimes engages in devotional service and sometimes strives for sense gratification, his service will be interrupted. A pure devotee, therefore, should have no other desire than to serve Krishna. He should be above fruitive activity and speculative knowledge. In his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami says, Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadyanavritam anukulyena krishna nushilanam bhaktirutama. This is the platform of pure devotional service. One should not be motivated by fruitive activity or mental speculation, but should simply serve Krishna favorably. That is first class devotion. Another meaning of antara is this body. The body is an impediment to self-realization because it is always engaged in sense gratification. Similarly, antara means money. If money is not used in Krishna's service, it is also an impediment. Antara also means janata, people in general. The association of ordinary persons may destroy the principles of devotional service. Similarly, antara may mean greed. Greed to acquire money or enjoy more sense gratification. Finally, the word antara may also mean atheistic ideas by which one considers the temple deity to be made of stone, wood, or gold. All of these are impediments. The deity in the temple is not material. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Similarly, considering the spiritual master an ordinary human being, Gurushu Naramati, is also an impediment. Nor should one consider a Vaishnav a member of a particular caste or nation. Nor should a Vaishnav be considered material. Charanamrita should not be considered ordinary drinking water. And the holy name of the Lord should not be considered an ordinary sound vibration. Nor should one look on Lord Krishna as an ordinary human being. for he is the origin of all Vishnu tattvas. Nor should one regard the Supreme Lord as a demigod. Intermingling the spiritual with the material causes one to look on transcendence as material and the mundane as spiritual. This is all due to a poor fund of knowledge. One should not consider Lord Vishnu and things related to him as being different. All this is offensive. There's more to the purport, but I'll begin here. As in the previous year, the residents of Kulinagram asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about their duty. And as in the previous year, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that you should chant the holy name without cessation and serve the Vaishnavas. And by these two processes, you will attain the lotus feet of Krishna. So we know what is the holy name of Krishna. We know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that his holy name is identical to him, that by chanting the holy name of Krishna, we are in the association of Krishna. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. The holy name of Krishna is Chaitanya, it's conscious. It's alive, it's conscious. Rasa Vigraha, it's the form or personification of rasa. Shuddha, it is completely pure. Nitya Mukta, it is eternally liberated from material contamination. Binatva Nama Namine. There is no difference between the name and that which the name refers to. For example, in the material world or the relative world, the name of something and what the name refers to are different. If we're thirsty and we chant water, 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 simply chanting water, water will not quench our thirst because the word water and the substance water are different. But in the spiritual realm or absolute realm, the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are the same. And therefore, when we chant Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna is personally present, dancing on our tongues. So when we chant the holy name of Krishna, and Krishna also includes his direct expansions of Vishnu tattvas, we are in the association of Krishna, and because Krishna is all pure, by his association, by the association of his holy name, we become purified. Cheto Darpano Marjanam. And we should chant Nirantara without cessation, as Srila Prabhupada has explained in the purport. We find the same instruction in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shikshastaka, Kirtaniya Sada Hari. that one should always chant the holy name. Now someone may say, how can I always chant the holy name? I have to bathe, I have to dress, I have to eat, I have to maintain the body. And our acharyas, such as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, have explained that to deal with the material world as far as necessary to keep the body and soul together is not against the principles of pure devotional service. As long as the goal is to serve Krishna, as long as the goal is to chant the holy name of Krishna, to engage in the basic requirements to exist in the material world, within the material body, is not outside of the instruction, Kirtaniya Sadahari, or Krishna Nama Nirantara. But we have to keep that as our goal. We have to keep Krishna and service to Krishna, service to the holy name of Krishna as the goal, as the center. Then whatever else we do in support of reaching that goal is accepted as part of the same process. But if our consciousness is first and foremost to take care of the body and the bodies of the family members or any extension of the body, and when there's time left, if and when there's time left, chant, then that is not the proper focus. It's not the focus of a pure devotee. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada and the Guru Parampara have come to teach us pure devotional service. That's why we're here, to hear about pure devotional service, to learn about it, and to practice it, to apply it in our lives. So yes, we can do what we have to keep the body and soul together in the world, but the purpose should be to chant the holy name and serve the holy name and serve the Vaishnavas. Now the next question is, who is a Vaishnava? How can I recognize a Vaishnava? Because this is the essential instruction. The previous year, Satyaraj Khan from Kulinagram had presented himself as a householder, as a materialistic person, and he asked, what is my duty as a householder and a materialistic man? And Lord Chaitanya replied, to chant the holy name without cessation and to serve the Vaishnavas. So this is not a light instruction. Lord Chaitanya gave it in response to the question the previous year. He's giving it now. And next year, the residents of Kulinagram will again ask the same question. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will again give the same answer. So it's an extremely important instruction to always chant the holy name and serve the Vaishnavas. And in the previous year, and in the present case as well, the residents of Kulinagram wanted to know, who is a Vaishnava? What are the symptoms of a Vaishnava? How can we recognize a Vaishnava? Otherwise, if we don't know who is a Vaishnava, we won't know whom to serve. We won't know how to follow your instruction. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given the symptoms of an advanced devotee, that he is always chanting the holy name. Although the words Kanista, Madhyam, and Uttama mean, I guess you could say, well, they're translated in different ways, but here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that Kanista means neophyte, just beginning to chant. Madhyam means advanced, and Uttama means perfect. So a Madhyam Vaishnav is not ordinary. He's Vaishnav Shrestha, he's the best of Vaishnavas. Any devotee, in the previous year, Sri Chaitanya, when asked who is a Vaishnav, Lord Chaitanya said that anyone who chants the holy name of Krishna once with faith, even if he's just beginning, but if he chants the holy name once with faith, he is a Vaishnav, and he's Shrestha Sabhakar. He's the best among all human beings. But now Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying Vaishnav Shrestha, that the advanced devotee who's constantly chanting is the best amongst Vaishnavas. And your duty is to serve his lotus feet. The previous year, yes, Lord Chaitanya said that one should respect the Vaishnav who even once chants the holy name with faith. But here, the instruction is a little stronger, that one should serve the lotus feet of the Vaishnav who is constantly chanting the holy name. Nirantara. Nirantara, the basic meaning is without cessation, continually. In other words, without any engagement in sense gratification or mental speculation. And it also means, you know, without being engrossed in the body, without being engrossed in accumulating money and spending money for sense gratification. It means without being greedy to make more money and enjoy sense gratification. And finally, it means without atheistic ideas. And then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada paraphrases and expands upon a verse from the Padma Purana that says that, you know, anyone who thinks that the deity is just a stone statue, anyone who thinks that the spiritual master is an ordinary human being, anyone who thinks that a Vaishnav belongs to a particular caste or community, you know, anyone who thinks that Charinamrita is ordinary drinking water, the Ganges is ordinary water, and so on, Naramati, he has a hellish mentality. Or sometimes Srila Prabhupada would say he's a resident of hell. Sometimes temples in India try to exclude devotees from entering the temple and seeing the deity because they are not Indians or not Hindus. So maybe around 1974, through the agency of one of his friends, one of Srila Prabhupada's friends, Swami Chinmayananda was actually quite a big Mayavadi in India. He wrote a very nice letter to all temple authorities in India. I think on the letterhead of Vishwa Hindu Parishad, in which he quoted the verse from the Padma Purana, saying that that these are genuine Vaishnavas, they have all the markings of Vaishnavas, tilak and neck beads, and they follow the standard behavior of Vaishnavas. They refrain from eating meat, fish, and eggs, and taking intoxicants, and gambling, and having illicit sex. And, you know, all in all, they are sincere devotees of Krishna, and they should be allowed in any Hindu temple. And he quoted this verse. So these are material conceptions. They're very common everywhere. And especially because we're discussing in the context of Vedic culture, we can say that they're very common amongst people who are born in the Vedic tradition, consider themselves part of the Vedic tradition. And of course, considering Krishna to be an ordinary human being, considering the body of Krishna to be material, these are all atheistic ideas. And a Madhyam Vaishnav is Nirantara. He is free from these atheistic ideas. Now, we know theoretically the philosophy, but in practice, how much have we realized it? How clean is our heart? You know, are we? I'm reminded of when His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami was a new devotee, and he was just coming to Krishna consciousness, and he approached Srila Prabhupada and he said, "Srila Prabhupada, you know, within your movement there's prejudice against black people. ISKCON's supposed to be a spiritual movement, but there's prejudice against black people." And Srila Prabhupada replied, "If you're disturbed, that means you're the same as them. That means you also identify with the body, and you're no different from them." And His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami really appreciated the answer, because it wasn't, "Oh, this is terrible, we have to do something about it." It was, "What about you? Are you really any different from them?" I've seen sometimes devotees complain about other devotees. "Oh, they're just doing it for name and fame. And they're disturbed about it." Well, why are you disturbed about it? That means you also want name and fame. You're disturbed because they're getting the name and fame instead of you. Otherwise, why should it bother you? So, Nirantara means free from these material conceptions. And until we are free from these material conceptions, we tend to mistake the material for the spiritual and the spiritual for the material. And consequently, we commit offenses. The main qualification of a Vaishnava, there are 26 qualities of a Vaishnava, but the main qualification is Krishnaika Sharanam, that the Vaishnava has taken full shelter of Krishna. So if someone has the primary qualification of having taken exclusive shelter of Krishna, he is considered a Vaishnava, even if all the other 25 qualities are not manifest or fully manifest in him. But if one doesn't have the main qualification of Krishnaika Sharanam, even if he has all the other 25 qualities, they're of no particular value. They're just like decorations of a dead body. So, ordinary people may become confused. Someone may have genuinely taken shelter of the holy name of Krishna, but may not have all the other qualities. So they might think, oh, that person's not a devotee, that person's not humble. Devotees are humble. And again, that usually means that person's not respecting me properly. He should be humble and offer me proper respect. You know, amani na mana de na. They should be offering respect to everyone, beginning with me. They're not offering me respect. That means they're not humble. Oh, they're not devotees. That's not a real devotee. But actually, the person is a real devotee if he has that qualification of having taken full shelter of Krishna and Krishna's holy name. And by disrespecting the person, we're committing offenses, and that obstructs our spiritual progress, our progress in chanting. So that's just one example. In the Bhakti Sandarbha 265, Srila Jiva Goswami writes, Namaikam yasya vachi smarana pathagatam ityadu deha dravinadi nimitika pashanda sabena cha dasha aparada lakshyante pashanda mavyatvat tesham. The Mayavadis look on Vishnu and Vaishnavas imperfectly. Now, there's a very interesting point here about this book, this older version of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I spoke with some of the editors of Prabhupada's books, and the original 17 volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita were produced in 2 months. Srila Prabhupada was very disturbed because he had translated so many books that weren't published. And he was discouraged. He wanted to have the books in print. And so he told the managers of the press in Los Angeles that he wanted the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, 17 volumes, produced in 2 months. And the main manager said, it's impossible. Prabhupada said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. And then he said, well, what if we can't do it? And Prabhupada said, disqualification. So they did it. They organized themselves to work literally 24 hours a day. They would have shifts. And there were many departments. There's the transcribing department, the editing department, the composing department, the art department, because there had to be illustrations for all the books, the Sanskrit department, So it was a real marathon. And they did it. It was a miracle. But by Krishna's grace, they did it. But one thing they couldn't do in every case was provide the translations for Sanskrit verses that Srila Prabhupada quoted, especially the verses like this one here from Bhakti Sandarbha, which is very difficult Sanskrit prose in which Prabhupada hadn't even begun to translate. So in the later edition of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, they added the translations. And the translation here is actually very important. And I'll try to paraphrase it. That's why you see, like, there's a Sanskrit quotation, but no translation, because they just didn't have time. And they considered, you know, but they didn't want to hold up the production, so they just let it go through. Namaikam yasya vachi smarana patagatam. He's saying that in the verse, because our acharyas, the six Goswamis and their followers, they always cite verses from Shastra, especially Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the main authority. And other Shastras, Padma Purana, Vishnu Purana, all the Vedic literatures. So he says, in the verse that begins Namaikam Yasya, we find the word Pashanda. Pashanda means atheistic. And that was the last list in the series of various meanings of Nirantara, atheistic. So Pashanda means atheistic. And then Prabhupada explained different variations of atheistic conceptions about the deity, Charinamrita, the spiritual master, the Vaishnavas, Charanamrita, Ganges, water, even the Krishna himself. So he says, it includes the word Pashanda, which will lead one to commit offenses. And therefore, one should be careful to avoid offenses when chanting the holy name. Now, the verse that begins Namaikam Yasya, we do have translated. It's from the Padma Purana, but it is quoted in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I'll read it because it's important. It explains a little more about Nirantara or Pashanda, atheistic ideas. This is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Antyalila, Chapter 3, The Glories of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur is speaking about the glories of the holy name. Text 60. Namaikam yasya vachi smarana patagatam strotramulam gatamva shudham vashudavanam vyavahitarahitam taratya eva satyam tachche deha dravina janata loba pasanda madye nikshipan syan na phala janakam sigram evatra vipra. Translation. If a devotee once utters the holy name of the Lord, or if it penetrates his mind, or enters his ear, which is the channel of oral reception, the holy name will certainly deliver him from material bondage. whether vibrated properly or improperly, with correct or incorrect grammar, and properly joined or vibrated in separate parts. O Brahman, the potency of the holy name is therefore certainly great. Now, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments on this part of the verse, and he says that if one chants with a sincere desire to serve Krishna and please Krishna and realize Krishna, then even if his pronunciation is improper or incorrect, he still is delivered from material bondage by the mercy of the holy name, because the holy name is so powerful. But it doesn't refer to chanting, negligently. It doesn't refer to a materialistic person who happens to chant the holy name. Like, ooh, that Hare Krishna lady looks pretty nice. I think I'm going to do something about that. That utterance of the holy name by a materialistic person in a materialistic mood is not going to deliver him from material bondage. But if one doesn't really, if someone's new and doesn't really understand how to pronounce properly, but is really sincere and has faith in Krishna and the holy name and chants, even if he doesn't pronounce the words properly, he'll be delivered by the potency of the holy name. Now, the second part of this verse. However, if one uses the vibration of the holy name for the benefit of the material body, for material wealth and followers, or under the influence of greed or atheism, there's that word, pashanda, atheism. In other words, if one utters the name with offenses, such chanting will not produce the desired result very soon. Therefore, one should diligently avoid offenses in chanting the holy name of the Lord. So there's a purport here, but it's the same idea that if we have these atheistic conceptions, these mundane ideas, we'll commit offenses, and then that will interfere with the benefit that we should get from the chanting. Of course, the Padma Purana does say that if one does commit offenses, one should continue to chant, and that by continuing to chant while trying to give up offenses, while trying to rectify oneself and become free from offenses, one will become free from offenses eventually. So in any case, we have to keep chanting. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the scriptures, our acharyas, have given us instructions so that we can avoid committing offenses when we chant, and especially offenses against Vaishnavas, which is the most harmful type of offense. Of course, there's also Guru Avagya, disobeying the orders of the spiritual master, disrespecting the spiritual master. That's also Vaishnava aparad, but it's also guru aparad. It's like someone gave the example that you might break a law. There might be like local ordinances and state laws and federal laws. So, you might break a law, and you're like breaking two laws. You're breaking a state law, and you're also breaking a federal law. So, Guru Aparad is a type of Vaishnava Aparad, but it's also
its own.
But the conclusion of the purport here is that the holy name has so much spiritual potency that it can deliver one from all sinful reactions and material entanglements. But utterance of the holy name will not be very soon fruitful if done to facilitate sinning. That's another major offense, to commit sin on the strength of chanting. The holy name is so powerful that it must act. But when one utters the holy name with offenses, its action will be delayed, not immediate. Although in favorable circumstances, the holy names of the Lord act very quickly. So there are many verses to the effect that, there's one verse from the Bhagavatam, that if in spite of chanting the holy name, if one's heart does not melt and one does not feel ecstatic transformations within his body, then his heart is to be considered steel-framed. And again, the purport to the verse is it means that the person's committing offenses and therefore he's not able to feel the pleasure that one should feel from chanting. But here in the purport, in relation to the advanced devotee, the Madhyam Bhagavata, it says that Srila Prabhupada writes that he's accustomed to chanting the holy name and he takes pleasure in it. That means that his offenses are greatly reduced and therefore he takes pleasure. It's not a chore. Like one devotee said that in the beginning, he used to think that the 16 rounds were an impediment to all the other things he had to do. And then after many years of chanting, he came to feel that all the other things he had to do were an impediment to chanting. So, Hashanda. The Mayavadis look on Vishnu and Vaishnavas imperfectly due to their poor fund of knowledge, and this is condemned. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.46, the intermediate Vaishnava is described as follows. Ishware tadadineshu balisheshu dvisatsusha prema maitri kripopeksha sakaroti samadhyama. The intermediate Vaishnava has to love God, make friends with the devotees, and instruct the innocent, and reject the envious. These are the four functions of the Vaishnava in the intermediate stage. So prema, maitri, kripa, peksha. We give our love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We make friendship with devotees. We give mercy to the innocent and we avoid the envious. So that function of giving mercy, that belongs to the Madhyam Vaishnava. And therefore we say that generally the preacher comes from the category of Madhyam Vaishnavas, because the duty of the preacher is to give mercy to innocent people, one of his duties. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text 64, Sri Sanatana Goswami is taught, Shadavanjana haya bhakti adhikari uttama madhyama kanishta shada anusari. One who is faithful is a proper candidate for devotional service. In terms of one's degree of faith in devotional service, one is a first class, second class, or neophyte Vaishnava. So, adho shraddha, Everything begins from faith. And therefore, faith is the basic qualification for advancement in devotional service. And according to how much faith one has, one is categorized as Kanishtha Madhyam or Uttama. Shastra Yukti Nahi Jane Dridha Shradavan Madhyama Adhikari Se Mahabhagyavan. One who has attained the intermediate stage is not very advanced in Shastric knowledge, but he has firm faith in the Lord. Such a person is very fortunate to be situated on the intermediate platform. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 2267. Rati prema tarat madhye bhakta taratama. Attraction and love are the ultimate goal of devotional service. The degrees of such attraction and love distinguish the different stages of devotion: neophyte, intermediate, and perfectional. So faith is so important, such an important commodity. So we must guard it very carefully and help it to grow. And therefore, again, these two things, Atsat Sang Tyaga e Vaishnavachar, Sri Sangi Eka Sadhu Krishna Bhaktar. We should avoid association that will be detrimental to our faith. That means Asat Sang Tyaga. We should give up the association of Asat. Asat means those who are not truthful devotees. Asat Sang Tyaga e Vaishnavachar. That's the behavior of a Vaishnava. He gives up Asat Sangha, the association of those who are not truthful devotees. And who are these Asat types? Sri Sangi Eka Sadhu Krishna Bhaktar. One is someone who's Sri Sangi, someone who's attached to women and enjoying women and enjoying material life. He may be a devotee, but if he's like too attached to sense gratification, we shouldn't associate with him too much. And Krishna Bhakta, someone who's not a devotee of Krishna, like demigod worshippers. They're asat. There's a verse in Shastra that it's better to be encaged in a cage of fire than to associate with demigod worshippers. And Srila Ramanujacharya, he paraphrased the statement from Shastra for his disciples. He said, if you're burning in a cage of fire, and the only way that you can escape being burnt alive in the fire is to take shelter of a temple where demigods are worshipped, it's better to be burned alive in the fire. Because being burnt alive in the fire can disrupt your devotional service just for one lifetime. When you take birth, you'll continue where you left off. Svalpama pidharmasya mahato chayate bayat. Even a little engagement of devotional service protects one from the most dangerous type of fear. And whatever progress one has made in the present life will continue in the next life. So it doesn't really interrupt your devotional service. It just ends it in this life and then you continue in the next. But if you associate with demigod worshippers or any type of asat, any type of pashandi, in fact, there's another verse that those who see the demigods and Lord Vishnu on the same level, they're Pashandis. So by associating with Pashandis, by atheistic type of people, one's devotional service can be destroyed. And it may take many lifetimes, we don't know how long, to regain one's spiritual position in devotional service. So that's why it's better to burn alive in a cage of fire than to associate with demigod worshippers. Because any type of Pashandi, atheist, misconception can destroy one's principles. It can induce one to commit offenses. And the offenses are actually what destroy one's devotional service. But by associating with asat, with non-devotees, with materialistic devotees, or just atheists, one is drawn into offensive thoughts, then offensive speech, and ultimately offensive behavior. And then one's, you know, devotional creeper is destroyed. An intermediate devotee is greatly attracted to chanting the holy name, and by chanting he is elevated to the platform of love. If one chants the holy name of the Lord with great attachment, he can understand his position as an eternal servant of the spiritual master, other Vaishnavas, and Krishna himself. Thus, the intermediate Vaishnav considers himself Krishna Das, Krishna's servant. And because the holy name of Krishna is Krishna himself, so the Vaishnav, advanced Vaishnav, realizes that he's the eternal servant of the holy name. And he sees other Vaishnavas as servants of the holy name. So he sees himself as the eternal servant of the holy name and of the servants of the holy name. Therefore, he preaches Krishna consciousness to innocent neophytes and stresses the importance of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, we general people, like the residents of Kulinagram, they need to know who is a Vaishnav so they can serve him, because that's Mahaprabhu's instruction, chant the holy name and serve the Vaishnav. But the Madhyama Vaishnav, he has to be able to clearly distinguish between the Lord, the devotees, the innocent people, and the envious. Because he has to deal differently with each category. He gives his love to the Supreme Lord, he makes friends with the devotees, he shows mercy to the innocent, and he avoids the atheists. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that the neglect of the envious by the Madhyam Vaishnav, by the preacher, is actually a demonstration of his mercy. Because if a preacher tries to preach to the envious person will just get angry and start to blaspheme. And then the Vaishnav will also get angry. I mean, he can tolerate, you know, insult to himself, but he can't tolerate if Krishna's being offended, or if devotional service is being offended, or if other Vaishnavs are being offended. So he'll become angry, and the hostilities will escalate. So we don't preach to envious people. We only preach to innocent people who are open. But if someone's envious and we try to preach to them, they're just going to get more offensive, and that's bad for them, and then we're going to have to defend Krishna and the devotees, and then they're going to get more upset. And so that injunction, upeksha, to neglect them. It's actually for their good. It's not that we think, oh, they're so bad, we don't want to have anything to do with them. But it's actually for their benefit that we don't preach to them. Because if we try to preach to them, they become angry. They become angry, and then they start to say so many things, and then we have to counter what they say, and they get more angry, we get more angry, and then it's like Prabhupada with Dr. Patel. Okay, no more discussion. Just read the Krishna book. He therefore preaches Krishna consciousness to innocent people and stresses the importance of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. An intermediate devotee can identify the non-devotee or motivated devotee. He can distinguish between a motivated devotee and a pure devotee. The motivated devotee or the non-devotee are on the material platform, and they are called prakrita. The intermediate devotee does not mix with such materialistic people. However, he understands that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and everything related to him are on the same transcendental platform. Actually, none of them are mundane. So, the prakrita bhakta, he's called bhakta. It's sort of a contradiction in terms, because bhakta is transcendental and prakrita means material. So how can a bhakta be prakrita? So our acharyas have explained that because of the injunction not to associate with those who are not bhaktas, like Krishna bhakta are, how would materialistic people who are inclined to devotional service, who want to make a beginning in devotional service, how will they ever make advancement if they're denied the association of devotees? So therefore, they're called prakrita bhaktas. Although they're still on the material platform, but they're considered bhaktas, and therefore, the more advanced devotees are allowed to associate with them. But still, they recognize that they're on the material platform. And therefore, although they associate with them to encourage them to come to a higher level of Krishna consciousness, they don't make intimate friendship with them. Their real intimate friends are other Madhyam Bhagavats, who are pure devotees. Madhyam Bhagavat is considered pure devotee because Nirantara, he's engaged in chanting the holy name, he's engaged in devotional service without cessation, without interruption. So he's considered a pure devotee and an advanced devotee, but not a perfect devotee. Perfect devotee means completely self-realized, and that person is described in Lord Chaitanya's answer the next year when the residents of Kulinagram ask him what is their duty and how to recognize a Vaishnava. So if you come back next year and I'm also here and I get a chance, I'll speak on that one. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Are there any questions or comments? Oh, just one thing I should add, just so that we don't get too carried away, that although we don't associate with non-devotees, but our acharyas, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, has explained that it doesn't mean that if we, like, work in a business, in an office, and they're non-devotees, that we, like, don't talk to them, we just ignore them. He says that in normal human interaction at work, or even in the family, we may have family members who are non-devotees. So he says, you know, in the workplace or in the family, we do have normal interactions with them. We're polite. But we don't take them seriously when they talk about spiritual matters. You know. But as far as, like, you know, you're in the office and you meet someone at the water cooler and the person says, "Hi, hi, how are you doing? How was your weekend?" "Oh, Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu." It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. We can say, "Oh, it was nice. It was nice, you know. How was your weekend?" And we know what their nice weekend was, but all sorts of things we wouldn't even dare to mention in Srimad Bhagavatam class. But so we can be polite, you know. We don't want to disrupt the relationships at work or in the family. But we don't take them seriously. And especially when it comes to spiritual subjects, we don't listen to their advice or suggestions. In fact, there's a verse in the Bhagavatam that says that it's instructions for Grihastha Ashram. And a lot of the time, like if someone in the family is a devotee and the others aren't, or maybe in the immediate family they're devotees, but in the extended family they're not all devotees. So they always like give advice, you know. You shouldn't be into Krishna consciousness so much. You know, you can go. You know, you can go for Janmashtami, or you could even go once a week on Sunday if there's nothing else, but don't get so deep into it. You know? It's more important to, you know, make money and buy things, and so the Bhagavatam says that externally you should agree. Sukadeva Goswami, who was like so renounced, he didn't even wear a loincloth. He was like so renounced. Sukadeva Goswami, actually this section is Narada. Narada speaking on Grihastha Ashram, but he says that externally you should agree that yes, you're right. But internally, one should be fixed in one's conviction about the actual goal of life, and one should act accordingly. So that sort of social interaction, even if you have to be a little diplomatic to keep things peaceful, is acceptable. Because if we try to preach to them, then, you know, there could be disruption. And if we take what they say seriously, yeah, actually, I am spending too much time at the temple. Yeah, actually, these people aren't good. Because that's what they'll say. They're not really devotees, you see. You know, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says you should do your duty, you should work. They're probably in the temple because they have nothing better to do. They couldn't make it in the material world. So we're the real devotees. We're doing what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. We're working. So that's what you should do. You should work more. So whatever it is, whatever the variation is on these atheistic ideas that come to us from these varieties of non-devotees, we shouldn't take them seriously. We don't have to argue with them. We can be polite. Yeah, that's very interesting. I'll think about that. But don't take them seriously. But really, make friends with devotees. And really, devotees, you know, genuine devotees are your best friends. They really are. So that's where we should look for intimacy in the association of advanced devotees. And then that will help us to reach that stage of pure love for Krishna. And then we enter our eternal, most intimate relationship with Him. Hare Krishna. Yes, Gopinath Prabhu.
One question, this is two parts. Sometimes some devotees, they behave towards you in a way that is really not very favorable. So you try to avoid them or keep safe distance. Is that a Vaishnava? And if not, if yes, then how to overcome it?
Are the questions being picked up on the sound system?
No, I didn't.
Okay. So Gopinath Prabhu says that there might be a devotee who's not very favorable to us. So we tend to want to avoid such a devotee. And is it proper and is it an offense? And the answer is given by Srila Rupa Goswami. It's reiterated by other acharyas, but one can avoid intimate association with the person, but one should offer the person respects within the mind. In other words, we can avoid intimate association, but we should not disrespect the person. We should be conscious this person is a devotee, even if the person's on the material platform, but the person's making an effort to become a devotee, so we should respect that. And that's that injunction that one should offer, even if they're just beginning to chant, just trying to chant, we should offer them respects within the mind. We don't have to exchange obeisances. I mean, it depends on the circumstances, but because that could lead to more, and if there's too much tension. But within your mind, you should respect that person as a devotee, that person's making an effort, that person's doing service, that person's trying to chant. There shouldn't be any hatred or animosity. You don't have to be that close to the person. One can, like we discussed, be sort of polite in an external way, but we don't have to be intimate. And that's not an offense. Yes, Nityananda Prabhu?
Just as in when we're chanting, we chant on the beats. Chanting on the beats enhances the chanting because we're chanting on Tulsi beats. Similarly, would it be correct to say that, when we're not chanting on beats, we're chanting, but we're chanting while we're doing some service to Krishna, serving the holy name, that chanting becomes enhanced by that service?
An interesting question. Nityananda Prabhu says we chant on beads, Tulsi Mala, and chanting on Tulsi Mala enhances our chanting. Because first it engages the sense of touch. And Srila Prabhupada said that the more senses that are engaged in chanting, the better it is. And if we engage the sense of touch and the sense of hearing, then the mind will be fixed. And of course, Tulsi beads are sacred, Tulsi, so that's also good. And our acharyas have also commented on beads, because beads are so important, that we can see each bead as like the lotus toes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when we chant. But Nityananda Prabhu is asking, when we're doing service, and chanting at the same time, whether the service would enhance the chanting. Well, it would depend on the service. You know, if you're driving and you're singing kirtan, you shouldn't be driving with one hand on the wheel. But if it doesn't, you know, if you can do the service properly and at the same time chant, that's good. That's good. Driving along and singing.
Like deity worship is a good example while we're doing certain deities.
It really depends on whether you can do justice to the service while chanting. If you can, then it's very good. But otherwise, if Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Good point. Like it's described in the cleansing of the Gundicha temple, that the only thing you could hear was the holy name. And if somebody wanted a broom, they would sort of make it known they wanted the broom, but they would say Krishna. If someone needed a pot of water, you know, Krishna. And we had one devotee who joined the temple in Juhu, but he'd lived in ashrams before he joined. And he said that in one ashram, like during prasad, they would always chant. You know, between bites they would chant. And if they needed something, they would say that, Hare Krishna. Hey, come on, where's the rice? We're like, Hare Krishna. So yeah, the more we can chant, the better. And while we're doing service, and that's also Jiva Goswami's instruction. And again, it relates to Nirantara, that we should always chant, and that the deity worship should be preceded by and followed by, you know, chanting of the holy name. And as far as possible, our service should be accompanied by the chanting. Yes, that's true. That's very good. Yes? Rasaraj Prabhu?
You realize when you're chanting sometimes on a personal basis that you are committing offenses. Either you're inattentive or you're chanting so that there is some result, or chanting helps you in a certain way, which is not necessarily leading to devotional service. Internally, you know that is happening and you want to avoid that. Now, but the remedy of that is probably chanting, is trying to chant properly, but you get back into creating offenses, where constantly going back and forth creating offenses to the extent that sometimes the offenses happen more often than actually the proper chanting of the things. So how does one remedy that situation when you're going back more than you're going forward? You want to chant properly, but creating offenses, you're going back. You want to chant properly. You know you're conscious of those offenses. But you can't consciously avoid them because of the conditioning of your personal self. And of very difficult to move on. Stuck at that level. In fact, you feel you're sometimes probably going that way.
Rasaraj Prabhu asks very important question. He says that when we chant, we may be aware that we're committing offenses, especially being inattentive. But even though we try to chant without offense, with attention, our mind still wanders. And sometimes it seems like it's away from the holy name more than it is with the holy name. And sometimes it feels like we're going down instead of up. Well, the fact that you're conscious that your mind is wandering itself is good. His Holiness Sridhar Swami used to quote some authorities that there are four stages. The lowest is unconscious incompetence, then higher is conscious incompetence, and then higher is conscious competence, and then the highest is unconscious competence. So relating that to our situation. Someone might be chanting inattentively and not even be conscious of it. So you're in the next category. You do chant inattentively a lot of the time, but you're conscious of it. So that's good. And you're working to chant with more attention, and that's good. That's like the beginning of the clearing stage. Clearing stage means that one is constantly endeavoring to chant with attention. And the Bhagavad Gita says, you know, whenever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, you should bring it back to the self. So that's there. And Chanchala Himana Krishna, the mind is, you know, more difficult to control the mind than the wind. So it's difficult. But the other thing is that attentive chanting is not a matter only of the effort we make at the time of chanting. It's really the culmination of everything we do in our lives. Like if you commit an offense to a Vaishnav, that will disturb your chanting. You're not committing the offense while you're chanting. You've committed the offense some other time, but it'll disturb you while you're chanting, or any of the offenses. So we want to be conscious throughout our lives to do things that will be favorable to our chanting and to avoid things that will be unfavorable. For example, you might have realized that it's favorable to chant in the early morning, for example. So then, to support that, you'll want to take rest early. You won't want to eat too heavy of a meal before you take rest. So that's sort of on the more physical level. And then, you know, in terms of the offenses, we want to keep good relations with devotees. You know, we want to keep our lives simple so we don't have too many complexities, because if there are too many complications, then those will come in our mind when we're chanting. So, you know, our performance when we chant is really the culmination of how we're living our whole life. And a lot of the work required to be able to chant attentively takes place when we're not chanting. You know, the other 22 hours a day. Valiant effort you're making, just the fact that you're conscious of it and making the effort. So we offer you all respects for that, and don't feel discouraged, but just keep at it, and Krishna will help you. It's not just our own effort that works. It's the combination of our effort and Krishna's mercy. And when Krishna sees that we're making the effort, like Mother Yashoda trying to bind Krishna, when Krishna sees that we're making the effort, his heart will soften and he'll be merciful and help us and allow us to allow himself to be bound, at least to some extent. Hare Krishna. All right, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Radha Swami Maharaj.